this: no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is... how many have been here for a while? What is God? Didn't we say that last week, and the week past, and the week before that? This is the third time. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. I don't know about you, but he sure gets awful close. Sometimes I think he's went over the line, at least for me. But when you are tempted, he will always provide a way out. That's our title. That's what we're looking at. So that you can endure it. I think that's, I like that phrase. A way out so you can never experience it again, right? Is that what it said? It says a way out so you can endure it. We're going to face temptations. We're going to have those things in our life that tempt us. Those things that kind of draw us and pull us in. You know, it may be, been talking a lot about donuts, right? It may be donuts. All right. Now, some of you have been with me for a while. You know I enjoy donuts. And just so you know, I did not have a donut this morning. All right. I did not get a donut this morning. But I did get a cupcake. All right. Just so you know, I just finished a cupcake just a few minutes ago and a bottle of water. You know, how do we resist a sugar fix? Spice drops, jelly, orange slices. You know, that sugar fix. You know. But there's temptation. Maybe you're here and maybe the temptation is, overspending. You know, I want to get out of debt. You know, we don't want to have debt and that debt that just seems over us. And I'm going to get out of debt, and yet there's a sale. There's new shoes and they're on sale. You know, wait, you know what? You got that ad from Kohl's and you rip that thing off and it's 30%. You got the 30% one from Costco. Anybody? Come on now. You know, I want to save money, but there's 30% sale at Costco. I am saved. I love the way you go out of Save Mart. Now, I'm not putting Save Mart down. I shop Save Mart, too. I like the way, you know, she gives you a receipt and they circle. You saved. I spent. Oh, we wrestle with, you know, that temptation, you know. Costco's the big one. You know, you got everything there, so I really don't need it. But, hey, you know, it's on sale. And we face this temptation. There's things we shouldn't look at that just kind of draw us in. That inappropriate things that we shouldn't be perusing on the internet. Maybe you're addicted to, we always talk about addiction to drugs or addictions to alcohol. I think there's a big addiction today called social media. Anybody? You know, yesterday I'm driving down the road and I'm watching this lady and she's getting ready to pull out onto Snyder. And she wasn't paying attention. And if I'd have been driving and not paying attention myself, or at least watching her, I would have hit her. She pulled right out in front of me. I would have plowed right into the side of her car. She was talking on her plane with her phone. So I honk my horn. She pulls over and then finishes up her phone call. People are hooked on social media. You ever go to a restaurant? We have these addictions, and we can talk about all sorts of things, you know, guilt or jealousy, or envy, or gossip, and there's these temptations, and maybe you wrestle with them. You know, maybe you said, "I'm going to do better. I'm going to fight this. I'm going to resist. I'll try as hard as I can." And then we start. I'm just not going to think about it anymore. Yeah, I'm just going to erase it from my mind, and I'm just not going to think about it. Have you ever did something like that? I'm not going to think about it. And then you just say, "I'm not thinking about it. I'm not thinking about it. I'm not thinking about it." What are you thinking about? Let me do this. Why don't you, everybody, close your eyes? Come on, just close your eyes. Now listen. Close your eyes. Do not think of a pink elephant. I don't want you to picture a pink. Now, erase everything in your mind. Don't have any images in your mind. Do not think of a pink elephant. Now open your eyes. What do you see? That's pink. Is it pink? Help me out now. It's supposed to be pink. I'm colorblind. Give me a break. It's supposed to be pink. Is it pink on the screen back there? Okay, I got evidence. Yeah. But isn't that the way it goes? I'm not going to. I'm not going to. I'm not going to. What am I thinking of it? Yeah. Now, that's the beginning process. I'm not going to temptation. I'm not going to go there anymore. That's a good start. but you need to move beyond that. And that's what I want to think about this morning. I have a rule for me. Now, you need to know I'm a pastor, I'm a preacher. I'm tempted just like everybody else. You know, I face temptation just like everybody else. And now here's this rule I have for me. Now, it doesn't always succeed, but it's the rule for me. And it goes like this. I'm going to try to be busy doing what I'm supposed to be doing, so I don't have time to do what I'm not supposed to do. Does that make sense? I'm going to be busy doing what I'm supposed to be doing, the good things I should be doing. And if I'm busy doing the good things I should be doing, I do not have time to do the things I shouldn't be doing. Down the street from my mother-in-law, there's a bar, and I love the name of the bar. It's a perfect name for a bar. It's called Idle Hour. Isn't that a good name for a bar? Idle Hour. Nothing to do, so I'm out of my time away, and I'm going to go to the bar. So here's what I want to propose this morning. Not only not to think about it, but to begin to do something else. All right? To begin to do something else. And I want us to look at here in Galatians chapter 5, as Paul writes this, as Paul challenges us with this statement here. He says this, So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Do what is right. Walk by the Spirit, and you won't be desiring the things of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They're in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. See the picture he's painting? In order to deal with those temptations in our life, we can think I'm not all we want. But until we move from this not going to doing something else, to pursuing something else. You know? How about this? I talked about the bar being idle. Have you ever, anybody heard a statement like this? Some of you older ones should recognize this. Idle hands are the... Come on. Is there anybody out there besides me? Idle hands are the... Devil's workshop. All right. I know I'm not the oldest one in here, all right? You know, we celebrated Martin. I shouldn't say that. We need to think about doing. We need to get busy doing something else. Instead of just saying no. No doesn't always work. We need to begin to do something else. We need to be working something else. That sinful nature, those desires. You're trying to save money, maybe Costco is not the place to go. Anybody? You know, that Kohl's paper that says turn off might not be a good thing to have. You know, if you have a problem with porn and in the internet, maybe you need to move your computer, or maybe you need to get one of those flip phones. I told you last week, that's okay. We need to make some decisions and do some things different. We need to pursue some things. But you know what? That's hard. It's a challenge. I like routines. Anybody hear things? You know, I like to have, you know, here's the way I'm going to do things. Here's the way we're going to go about. Yeah. Sometimes we got to change those routines. We got to modify how we do things. And still yet, we battle this. I love Paul. This passage here sticks in my mind all the time. It's Romans chapter 7. If you got your outline there, we're going to see it on the screen in a minute. But this is my battle. Maybe you can identify with it. For I know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, under sin. For I do not understand my own actions. Anybody ever feel that way? I don't understand why I'm doing what I do. I don't understand why I keep getting in this trouble. I don't understand why this just keeps happening to me. I don't understand my own actions. For I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Anybody? Now if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that it is good. So now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh. For I have a desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. Anybody ever feel that way? I know what I need to do. I know what I should do. I just can't do it. I just can't. I try, I work at it, I just can't. Well, I'm going to tell you what, you're right. You can't. Does that help you? You're right, you can't. Our flesh can't. I cannot do that. You know, my flesh, here's Paul, writer of most of the New Testament, planted most of the churches around this Mediterranean Sea, did God's work, led people to the Lord, discipled people, a man of God, he's sitting there, why do I do what I don't want to do? Someday you ever feel like you're one? Nobody knows the troubles I've seen. You feel like nobody gets it? Well, here's Paul saying, you know what? I'm in that same boat. So with things I don't like. I have temptations I don't like. I do things I do not want to do. When I read that, I always get confused with the eyes. Anybody else? It gets kind of confusing. But it basically he's saying this. I don't want to do some things I'm doing, and the things I really want to do, I don't do. And he's just wrestling with this. And so what I want to do this morning is I want to help you do what you need to do right. Is that okay? I want to give you some power. I want to give you authority. I want to give you some abilities to do what's right. Because your flesh is weak. We give in. We fall short. We can't measure up. But God isn't. But I want to begin with this. I got this little statement right here. If you look there, it says this. What you feed grows, and what you starve dies. What you feed grows, and what you starve dies. If I feed my spiritual nature, it will what? Grow. If I starve my sinful nature, it will die. All right? Here's what as I was working on the mess, here's what I thought about. Let me ask you this. Here's what I thought about. In sin, something has to die. Listen to me. In sin, something has to die. The choice is this. Is the sin going to die or something else going to die? You get the picture? I'm going to tell you, sin takes a life. Sin literally takes a life. And we need to understand that. So I want to make sure you get this picture. What I feed grows. And what I starve dies. If I feed myself donuts. When I was a kid, I could eat 3 donuts and chocolate milk and go to work my dad all the time. Not have a problem. 135. That was pretty good. Now, you know, if I ate 3 donuts and had chocolate milk every day now, it would not be 135 pounds. Isn't that the way it is? What we feed grows, what we starve dies. You know, and we have these good intentions. You know, you have these good, you know, I want to, this is my desire, this is what I want. I don't overspend, and I don't, you know, I don't want to eat. Well, listen, I'm going to do what's right. I'm going to get up and jog every morning. Right? But I open the refrigerator door and there's donuts there. I'll start that tomorrow. Anybody? I'm going to get my finances under control. I'm going to get them under control. We'll start next month. Anybody? This is Paul saying this. You know? I know what I should do, but I can't do it. I know I shouldn't click this picture right now. But if we feed, it makes a difference. I'm going to ask you, what are you feeding? What are you feeding in your life? It's kind of like the old saying, as I thought about this, I thought about, well, I know none of you guys ever tell a lie, so you don't have to worry about that. I figure I can talk about lying because nobody lies. And so, but you ever notice you tell a lie? What do you got to do to cover up that lie? What are you going to do to cover up that lie? Do lies feed on lies? They just keep growing. See, temptation, that sin, it just keeps growing. That deception, that just keeps percolating in our lives and pulling us aside. So here's what I want to challenge us with this morning. We need to feed our spiritual nature and starve the flesh. Does that make sense? Because it will die. So here's what I want to do. How are you going to do that? Because I can't do it on my own. Just like Paul. I can't do it on my own. So I wrote it this way. I'm going to depend on the power of the Holy Spirit. I don't have the strength. I don't have the ability. I don't have the power. But you know what? I know somebody who does. You ever have a project you need to get done around your house or maybe on your car or somewhere else? Who do you call? Someone with the knowledge, someone with the power, somebody with the ability to get it done. I want to put a wood floor in. I got two wood floors in my bedrooms. I got another bedroom. I got the wood sitting there at my house. Put a wood floor in this other bedroom. I got a chop saw at my... Now, I know how. That saw. But do I have the ability? No. I'm going to call someone who not only knows how, but has the ability. And so here's what I want you to do. I want you to feed spiritual nature by calling on the Holy Spirit, who has the knowledge and the power and the ability to do what you cannot do. Everybody got on that one? I'm going to depend on the Holy Spirit to help me. I'm going to depend on that Spirit that dwells within me. Now, I wanted to lay this in really, really strong for you. Because here's what I want to make sure you understand. If you are a believer, if you cross that invisible line you guys hear me talk about, if you come here very often, that there's this invisible line that you need to reach a point in your life. It's not about walking out, oh, I shook the preacher's hand, or I was baptized as a baby, or I'm trying to do everything right. That's not going to make the difference in your life. What makes the difference in your life is that invisible line. You reach that point in your life where you say something like this. You guys know where I'm at, don't you? God, I'm things my way. I want to do them yours for my life and take control. And when you pray a prayer along that line, when you surrender to God along that line, I was 17 years old when I did that. Guess what happened? Not only did God come to me and save me and free me and forgive me and cleanse me and wash me as white as snow. Everybody on that one, right? But he gave me the Holy Spirit. Every believer has the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit in their life. When you cross that line, when Jesus Christ comes, you got something in you that's spiritual, that's dynamic, that grows, and it lives and dwells within you. And so when you're fighting those temptations, you need to be feeding that Spirit to fight those temptations. Here's what it says. Here's Jesus speaking as he's preparing to die. And I will ask the Father, he being Jesus, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, and you could say Holy Spirit, want, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him. Now listen, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Listen, our flesh does not have the ability to refuse temptation. I'm going to give you that. If you sat there and tell me, I cannot help myself, I'm going to say, you're right. If you're a believer, I'm going to tell you, you have the power in you that you can fight the good fight. You guys got the picture? See, temptation is coming. We'll laugh about the donuts, and it's fun to laugh about donuts, but there's some serious temptations out there, right? Come on. You know, I can make you laugh about the donuts, but man, there's some serious things that destroy our lives and that kill us. And we need to see that. We need to understand that and understand what's going on in our life. That power, there's something in me that works. Look at this next guy. Let me show you how it works. If you're a believer this morning, maybe you felt this. And when he comes, this is John 16:8. This is the Holy Spirit again. And when he, the Holy Spirit, comes, he, the Holy Spirit, will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Now, if you're a believer, let me ask you this. Have you ever done something that you felt convicted about? You ever done something that it's like, it just crushed your spirit. It hurt. You know what? I'll tell you what. That was the Holy Spirit. You want to know if you have the Holy Spirit? If you get convicted, God's sitting there saying, urgh. You know? See, you have the Spirit. We have this power. And one of the things he does is he's sitting there going, you did something. And you need to change. You need to go down that path. If you continue down that path long enough, you will die. You need to change. But also, you know, as I look at this and as I see this, look at this next one. This is John 14. And this is Amplified Bible. So just kind of, what the Amplified Bible does, it just kind of throws in a bunch of extra words. It's not an easy Bible to read. But I like the way it throws in some words to try to explain. Look at what it says. But the helper, now that word helper in Greek means all these different ways. The helper, comforter, advocate, intercessor, counselor, strengthener, standby. The Holy Father will send in my name, in my place, to represent me and to act on my behalf. He will teach you all things, and he will help you remember everything that I have told you. I like that because I want to see, that's what the Holy Spirit does. All those things. You might want to circle, which one do you need right now? Comfort? Maybe you're battling something, and it's just killing your heart, and you're just aching, and you're hurting because there's a struggle in your life going on, and you're hurting. And what God has said, I get you the comforter. He's going to comfort you. Do you need the counselor? You need somebody who's going to counsel? You know, I'm wrestling with these decisions. I don't know which way to go. I don't know how. God has said, here's the Spirit. He's going to counsel you. That presence of God in you. You need an advocate? Somebody's going to push you in the right direction? Somebody's going to help you make the right decision? That's the Spirit. See, God's given us this power in us. He's given us this ability within us that we can do and we can accomplish this thing. I cannot do this on my own. We look in the world. How many of you ever looked in the world and just go, man, it's a rough place out there? Anybody? You look out in the world and you just, you know, those people, you know, a bunch of sinners, right? A bunch of sinners, right? Yeah, you look out there. Well, you know what? They can't help themselves. They have an excuse. All right? We don't have an excuse. If I'm a believer, I have no excuse. Because there is in me is stronger than he who is in this world. Is that true? It is, because it's in the Bible. See, temptation is there, and it's a fight, and Paul's wrestling with this, but we have something in us. So I want to challenge you, are we feeding our spirit? Are we feeding that spirit that lives in us? Are we nurturing that spirit that dwells in us? What we eat grows and what we starve dies. And then we get to this point here. I like Paul in Romans here. Look at what he says. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have, I want you to circle these words, no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. For if you live by its dictates, you will die. But if through the power of the Spirit you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. We have no obligation to sin. You cannot come to me as a pastor, and you cannot go to God and say, I just couldn't help myself. If you are a believer, you have the power of God in you. You get the picture? It's real, and temptation is strong, and it pulls at us, and it drags us down. But I am not obliged to give in. I don't have to give in. Now, die, that sounds like a pretty strong word. That sounds like, well, I'm just trying to be dramatic. Isn't that what the devil told Eve? Remember? Eve in the garden, you know, and the devil says, hey, why don't you eat this? And you're not surely going to die. But I'm going to ask you something. Have you ever seen alcohol kill a marriage? You ever seen drugs literally kill somebody? You ever seen addiction take somebody's job? We, you know, something's going to die. Family, friends. I'm not talking about physical death. I'm talking about relationships die because of sin. We need to see that something, but we're not obliged to do it. I don't have to go that way. I have other options. I have other opportunities. And so I'm going to check this morning, what do you need to put away? Where do you need God's power? Now, last week, I gave you a little, remember you had a blank at the top? I don't know how many filled that out. I'd probably be really good. 3 or 4% of you filled that part out. Yeah. I got another blank for you to fill out. Look at this. Even though you might not do it, I'm going to put pressure on you. I admit that I am powerless over mine might be anger behind the steering wheel of a car. I believe that the power of the Spirit of God will heal me and make me whole. I want you to think about putting something down there. Last week I gave you another, you know, fill out a temptation. This is the, kind of the same thing again. And we just kind of resist it. It's like, I don't want anybody to know anybody. You know, let me give you a little hint here. I pretty much guarantee, you know, whatever temptation you have, there's somebody that knows it. You know, you might think you have it pretty well hidden. You might think, well, nobody knows. If you're married, your spouse probably knows. You know, they could probably help you fill it out. You know? But I want to encourage you. You know, anybody, AA, great program, right? AA, great program. 12 steps, right? Anybody remember? 12 steps. Step number one. Admit you have a problem. See, we got to start with the admit problem. We got to start. The problem is I got to be willing to write it down. But see, we're afraid somebody's going to see it. I'm going to collect these afterwards. Put your name at the top, please. No, I'm not going to do that, all right? You know, this is between you and God. And what I want you to, my prayer as a pastor of this church is, when you come in here on Sunday morning, I want you to go out a different person. I have those three E's. I want you to come in. I want you to encounter God, to experience God, to be encouraged and leave this place excited. I have three E's. That's how I memorize it. See, I want you to be ready to face this world and to deal with this world. So I'm going to ask you to fill it out. How's somebody seeing it? Because here's what I want to tell you. You need to have somebody see it. We need somebody in our lives who can help us. What do I say here? Again, if you've been with me a while, I keep throwing these phrases out. You're going to hear them over and over again. You need three things in your life. You need a church. You need a place where you can gather with a bunch of people and find support and encouragement and good words and a positive place to feed yourself and to grow spirits and feed what you grow, right? You need that small group where you can get some in-depth relationships. And you need that one person who can say those hard things to you. We need that person who can look you in the eye and say, you're being a jerk right now. You know, we need that. You know, look at what God's word says. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. You get in a battle? Who do you have praying for you on that battle? By name, for that issue. Isn't that what the Bible says? This between you and God. It's not me. You just need to have somebody in your life. The earnest prayers of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. You need to have somebody who's walking with you in life. You need this church, and you need that small group, and you need that person who's there for you through good and bad. When you tell them, you know what, I'm trapped by, they're not going to go, oh, I can't talk to you anymore. They're going to say, hey, let's do this. I'm with you. You can count on me. You can depend on me. I'm never going to fail you, and you're not going to fail me. We're going to make it. You need that person in your life. Because look at what this next scripture says. Two are better than one, because together they can work more effectively. If one of them falls down, the other can help him up. I really like this part. But if someone is alone and falls, it is too bad, because there's no one to help him up. Too bad. Suck. Too bad. We need those. So I'm gonna encourage, put something there, all right? Admit it. Be willing to admit it. Don't worry about what somebody else sees around you. You know? I had this, we read the Bible and it says, don't judge one another. And I believe that. Don't judge one another. All right? But here's what I also believe. I believe I need to have somebody in my life that's willing to walk with me and help me get issues in my life. And they have a permission to judge me. If you're not willing to walk with somebody, you better not judge anybody, okay? That's what I look at. If you're not willing to walk with them, if you're only going to point it out, I don't need anybody to point out my troubles because I already know them. You know, nobody needs to tell me what I do wrong. What I need is somebody who's going to walk with me to help me fix it, right? I've got the Holy Spirit, and I got a brother in the Lord. Now, I'm going to be real specific. You need a brother or a sister. Same sex, all right? Guys do not get a girl partner. Girls do not get a guy partner. And your spouse is great, but you need somebody else besides your spouse. You know, I can take a lot of things from others, but my wife says it just irritates me. Now, come on, you guys are laughing at me because you know it's true for you too. All right? You know, I have some friends that can tell me things. If my wife tells me, I'm going to get mad because I don't want to hear it from her. So we're talking about the Spirit, but I want to make sure you know God sometimes puts somebody in your life. That Spirit speaks to somebody, to you. Anybody? So I want to encourage you there. I want to make sure you see this point here. So if you don't admit it, you're covering it up. Do you hear me? Here's what I'm going to tell you. You're not going to like this. All right? If you don't put something down there, you're covering it up. This is, I want you to go out better than you are when you came in. You have the power through the Holy Spirit. That presence of God lives in you. If he doesn't, let me tell you what. If he doesn't live in you right now, here's what you need to do. God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them yours. For my life, take control. Pray that right now, right where you're at. That's it. That's an invisible line. If you prayed that, then you have the power of the Spirit in you. You can defeat Satan. Jesus did. You know what? You have the power of Jesus in you. Didn't he? I mean, he stumped all over Satan when he came out of that tomb. Satan, there, man, I got him now. Yeah, you sure do. Got a tiger by the tail. See, I want to challenge us, you know. Depend on that power of the Holy Spirit. Let the Spirit of God minister to you. Let me say it this way. I found a great phrase. It went like this. You're only as healthy as you are willing to be honest. Get that? You're only as healthy as you are willing to be honest. So what is it? Don't worry about what somebody sees around you. Don't look at somebody else's paper, you know? You got your own. But I want to challenge you. Let's go on. Let me turn the page here and see where I'm at. Oh, now I got to follow the prompting of the Holy Spirit. So I depend on the Holy Spirit, then I'm going to follow the prompting of the Holy Spirit. When the Spirit lives in us, he kind of nudges us in certain directions. All right? He kind of pushes us in certain ways. He prompts us. Look at what it says. Galatians 5 again, 24 and 25. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh. Remember, the flesh is dead. With its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, keep in step with the Spirit. That Spirit in us speaks to us. That Spirit in us guides us and directs us. And he speaks into our heart. Have you ever felt that urge? Have you ever felt something you should do? Now, I want to make sure. It's not your conscience. I think we all have a conscience. Anybody here have a conscience? You know, Jiminy Cricket? Anybody? Yeah. We all have a conscience. But I want to tell you something. Your conscience is not the Holy Spirit, all right? Now, your Holy Spirit can influence your conscience. But your conscience is not the Holy Spirit. But we have this Spirit that wants to prompt us, that wants to push us, that directs us, that wants to guide us. He wants to lead us in directions that he wants us to go. And that's what we need to be willing to follow, that prompting, that leading. And some of you are here are going, I've never felt it. But he does. I used to always give my mother-in-law, before I married my wife, a bad time. Because I have no doubt in my mind that Laura is the wife that God prepared for me. There's no doubt in my mind that that's what God had designed. And he had directed the path. He had led situations. He had led circumstances. She was my cousin's best friend, the cousin that led me to the Lord. Hey, you think that's an accident? The cousin that led me to the Lord, her best friend, is my wife. Think God had something to do with that? God guided things. God, you know, that Spirit directed things. So I used to give my mother-in-law a bad time before we got married. I said, oh, I'm stuck with her. She goes, no, you're not. I said, you want to do God's will? I got to marry her. I don't have a choice. It wasn't that way. But I love aggravating my mother-in-law. But see, I believe God nudges us. And that's what I put her. What was the last time you felt nudging by the Holy Spirit? When's the last time you felt the Holy Spirit kind of push you in a certain direction? I felt led to pray for somebody this morning. So I texted and said, I'm praying for you this morning. You know? And I do. I feel led to pray for some of you. And some of you get my text messages. And I just feel led. Now, you know I pray for those cards you send all the time. But sometimes I feel a prompting to let you know. Maybe, you know, I've texted somebody and they go, I just needed to hear that. It was the right time in the right place. But we need to be, when's that last time? Now, let me help you. If you don't know when or you're not really sure, here's what I want you to do. I want you to start keeping notes. All right? I want you to start, you could do it on your phone, you can get a slip of paper, get a little book, call it journaling, do whatever. You don't have to be anything long. But here's what I want you to do. I want you to start keeping notes. You're driving the car. You're in the car and you listen to K-Love or one of the Christian radio stations. And a song comes on. And it really spoke to you. I want you to make a note. You think that might have been the Holy Spirit? I think so. You're walking somewhere and you're journeying somewhere and all of a sudden you just felt led to go this way. You don't know why, but you just felt you needed to stop and talk to someone. Make a note. See, I want you to think, when was the last time you felt the Spirit nudge you? You need to move this way. See, the Spirit prompts us. The Spirit leads us. The Spirit guides us. And we need to see that. Take some notes. So I want you to kind of write some things down. To see some things that are there. Because I think God does a lot that we just don't see. Anybody on that board with that one? How many of us can look back and see the hand of God that we missed when we were going through it? So we need to see and we need to understand that God is there to guide us, to direct us. See, we have all these good intentions. I'm going to read my Bible every day. 3 days later, guess what? Anybody been on that one? Kind of merry-go-round? You start a week, then it's over. So you start again in 2 weeks, it's over. Good intentions, you know, you try. You know, we have, I want to challenge us. Depend on the Spirit and let Him prompt you, because it's going to come. Things are going to be there. I want to encourage you. You're not obliged to do the sin. Temptation is not a sin. Remember, we started with that. Temptation is not a sin. It's going to be there. It's real. It doesn't go anywhere. Temptation comes. But we don't have to sin. We're not obliged to sin. I'm not obliged to click the click. I'm not obliged to drink the drink. I'm obliged to smoke the thing I shouldn't. I'm not obliged to pull the credit card out and use it when I shouldn't. I'm not obliged anybody. I'm not obliged. My flesh is weak, but in me is a power of God. It's His Spirit. And He's going to guide us, and He's going to direct us, and He's going to lead us. And so I want to challenge you. There is always a way out. Let's look at the verse we started. No temptation has overtaken you except that is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will always provide a way out so that you can endure. There is always, always a way out. And power of God in you. He dwells in you. You can overcome. You can conquer. You can find victory. Because He who is in you is stronger than he who is in the world. Let's pray. Lord, I thank You for Your words and Your truths. I thank You for the power that You place within us. Power that raised Jesus from the dead. The power that brought sight to the blind, caused the lame to walk, that fed the 5,000. The power that is available to each of us. Lord, I pray for wisdom and strength in that power. You know, as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, maybe you feel overwhelmed. Maybe this morning as you're making some notes, or maybe as you filled that blank in, you're willing to say, I am powerless over, and you want me to pray for you. You want me to pray for that strength of the Spirit? Would you just shoot your hand up? Thank you. Thank you. I see that. Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. Lord, you've seen the hands of those who feel powerless, for truly the flesh. But it's not their power, Lord, that will defeat Satan. It is yours. I ask that your Spirit will well up inside of them, that it will comfort them, that it will encourage them, and that through your might, you will defeat the temptation that seems to drag them down, that seems to attack, that seems to abuse them. By our might, Lord, by the might of the Holy Spirit, conquer, encourage, empower, and let us see the hand of God as we proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.